So I want to tell you that I do have a financial conflict of interest. I am a consultant and I am paid to do some of this work, and I just wanted to share that. So I'm not covered under the general clause of everybody else. Also, I want to mention that I'll use Oregon Health Plan, OHP, interchangeably with Medicaid. It's Oregon's Medicaid product. So at some point, if I am saying OHP, and that's what I'm referring to. Let's see. Okay, good. That was all the administrative things I had, so I was going to do a little dance for you. You learned about us. What we're talking about is Lane County, Oregon. It is in the middle of the state. This is a profile of the uninsured, which is conducted by the Oregon Department of Human Services. Lane County has the second highest rate in Oregon in regards to our rate of uninsured. This is low in regards to some of the estimates that we even see locally. Statewide, we're looking at 1 in 6 people that are uninsured, and in Lane County, it's probably closer to 1 in 5. In 2004, United Way of Lane County conducted a needs assessment, which is a random digit dial telephone survey that showed that healthcare was, for the first time, the highest concern of anybody in the population that they were able to reach and that responded to their survey, which was actually a good number of people and thousands. So in response, they convened a healthcare summit. And together, they developed a coalition that's been focused on a number of objectives and looking at kind of small incremental steps towards working together and building on promising opportunities as a collaborative effort. And their goals are, I would say, very broad and cover a wide range of topics. The work that we do in terms of their program evaluation needs focuses on trying to meet some of their objectives for measuring and benchmarking the ways that they are achieving these goals over time. We have a couple of related presentations that we're doing here, especially around our nonprofit insurance product that we have, which is called the Medical Access Program. I want to give credit where credit is due. So the community needs assessment that I'm presenting a little bit of data on was conducted by United Way of Lane County, and it's an initiative that they do every 3 years. Emergency department utilization is a joint project between Health Policy Research Northwest and the Oregon Health Sciences University Center for Policy and Research in Emergency Medicine. We all play in the program evaluation field down there. In terms of how we approach community healthcare access programs and the work of the specific collaborative that we call 100% Access Healthcare Initiative is by looking at population studies and program evaluation, and we suggest that it's a kind of a continuous feedback loop. You can't have one without the other. And so our population studies that drive some of our program development and also help prioritize the scope of the work for the coalition and provide evidence for the ways to move forward in the programs are the needs assessment, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, and that's a cross-cutting survey, and that covers all sorts of household needs, financial stability, and access to public programs and other healthcare issues. And so when we look at this data, what's most interesting is we can see that 32 to 50% of young adults have not had stable insurance coverage in the past 2 years. And that has all sorts of ramifications when we are developing our nonprofit insurance program and we're looking at ways to bridge the gap and provide continuity of healthcare services. You know, we have to consider that we're looking at a large proportion of the population that are going to need some type of gap coverage, for lack of better terms. And in terms of whether or not people actually know about the safety net clinics that we have in the area and the access to other services that may be available to them, the uninsured are not better informed than people who have insurance, which is pretty important also in the way we develop our programs moving forward. The second study, that's a population study, is emergency department utilization. Every hospital in Lane County is included in this database. It is 100% of our emergency department utilization data. And for the first year, we did a baseline assessment, 2005 and 2006. This year, we have started to have some trend data up through 2007. The methodology used is comparable in terms of what ICD-9 codes we use to, for example, I put in some asthma slides so I could fit into the box here. We made sure that we have apples-to-apples coding with a statewide data set that ended in 2004 that we hope will pick up again in the future, and we'll be able to compare Lane County directly to the rest of the state, both urban and rural populations. And, of course, everything is de-identified in aggregate. In terms of this slide, it's just so that if you want to look it up later, you would have the baseline numbers. But the take-home message that we look at most clearly here is that the uninsured population is going up significantly over the 3 years, and we also see a significant decline in both commercial and Medicaid coverage. The emergency department utilization data is so good for our community in helping to develop the guide the way that we develop our programs, because we have this wealth of data, and it's a great proxy for access to health services. And we particularly look at the things that that have been identified in some of the goals of the coalition. And so we look at things like diabetes, asthma, drug and alcohol, dental, and mental health issues. We also look at it from a geographic basis. So where are safety net clinics in relation to the number where people are actually accessing the ED? Where do they live? And I'm including one alcohol-related slide because for us, the alcohol, behavioral health issues, mental health, behavioral health, drug and alcohol are actually the biggest priority that the data screams to. And so I just wanted to show you the top orange line is the uninsured. They are more than 2 times likely to have an emergency department visit for an alcohol-related diagnosis. And when we say alcohol-related, we include in the coding of that, for example, alcohol-related cirrhosis of the liver, which does show up under a liver-related ICD-9 code, but that's included in alcohol-related diagnoses. And in terms of what some of the asthma data looks like for us, the Oregon Health Plan population, our Medicaid population, does have the highest rate of emergency department utilization, over 7% and up to 8% in the most recent year are among Medicaid. Whoops. And I don't know what the rest of that said. How do I go back one? There we go. Okay, we're good. And also in regards to what the age of the population looks like, the highest utilization is among the youngest children, 2 to 9 years of age, but the highest increase in increasing trend that we see is among 10 to 17-year-olds. And in terms of other asthma data that we are able to look at, ours, it's an echo. I have an echo chamber for females, highest incidence in females each year. And we talked about the increase among 10 to 17-year-olds. And also, we're able to look at, you know, admitted versus discharged clients. So we have, for example, Medicare clients are admitted 41% of the time that they come through the emergency department. They end up going into the hospital, and then they incur 92% of the charges related to emergency department visits that end up being admitted. So that is fairly significant. Also, I wanted to point out in terms of our policy decisions, the uninsured are, I know it's a small percentage, but it's staggering when you have almost a twofold increase in only 2 years among the uninsured for primary diagnosis of asthma-related emergency department visits. And also, for me, a primary diagnosis in terms of our healthcare expenditures, $1.5 million to $2.3 million in only 2 years is pretty significant. What this means for our local program and policy development is we talked about the conditions that are most glaring in our data, even though, believe it or not, with the data I just showed you on asthma, it doesn't even make the top threshold quite yet, so that's probably a future work plan. We also look at the high-use clients. There's been a lot of focus around, you know, high users. Should we target interventions to people who use the emergency department all the time, or should we focus things on conditions? And those are questions that we deal with at the coalition level. And really, when you look at it, you have less than 4% of people are making up the high-use visits. So do you target the 96% or do you target the 4%? It's just a question I'll pose to the world. I have my own opinions on that, of course. And in terms of what else the data supports is that in chronic diseases, 70 to 80% of all costs are incurred among people who have chronic diseases, asthma being one of those conditions, and that 14 to 15% of emergency department visits that go to admit to the hospital incur 78% of all the charges of people who come through the emergency department. So the question really begs, should we keep people out of the hospital? And luckily, I get to speak at a public health conference, so we're all on the same page. In terms of what we've learned about the evaluator's role, is there's been a lot of, there's a lot of value to having a neutral third party come in and look at your data and say, you know, okay, let's, you know, give us a full program evaluation, give us, you know, qualitative and quantitative data that's going to support our program long term. And I think that's all very reasonable. But what we found out in the type of work that the coalitions do and these healthcare collaboratives that really are probably in your communities at home, you have a healthcare collaborative that's, you know, either starting or, you know, in some type of full swing. And really, I've learned that it's not all black and white the way I would like it to be. I have learned, and what did you say? Somebody told me last night I was getting warm and squishy. So as an epidemiologist, I want it to be black and white, and this type of work is very dynamic. It changes over time, and some of the hardest things that we've hit up against is that a lot of the funding mechanisms for healthcare access programs are in a very limited duration cycle. So you're looking at a grant program where you're supposed to implement a program, and with 3 years, you've changed the world and your health outcomes are significantly better. And it really has taken 3 years to lay the groundwork, to get the benchmark and the baseline data needed to be able to demonstrate any type of change over time. And I think that that's pretty important. So that's the reality of the type of work. And I think that that also speaks to maybe a need to rethink the evaluator's role and say, you know, you should probably bring someone in a priori, I mean, while you're developing your program, and say, are we collecting the right type of data so that when we get to point Z, we're able to go back and look at points A through Y and make sure that, you know, we're able to trend and mark the data over time so that we can apply for the grants, so that we can be competitive in the future. And in terms of the two types of, you know, I talked about population data and program evaluation data, and they're both needed in order to help support these community access programs. These are two examples of program evaluation data that we're looking at. So at first we said, wouldn't it be great if all the safety net clinics, so school-based health centers, volunteers in medicine clinics, federally qualified health centers, if they all captured the same type of information. So we could say, your utilization is like this and your utilization is like this. Well, come to find out, they actually didn't collect any of the same types of information. And so we couldn't really ask them and go through a kind of a program evaluation process and make decisions on a community level for where to go from here until we had apples to apples comparisons. And so that was kind of the first step before we could even get to the evaluation step. And in terms of the medical access program, we have both qualitative and quantitative data, and the strongest of that is probably the utilization data. Providers are doing a pro bono program as a pilot, and they're submitting encounters, and we have administrative medical claims, and we can actually quantify the value of health services that are delivered to people in a kind of community benefit insurance program that's not really insurance. You can come tomorrow if you want to hear more about that. It's very... Oh, wrong way. So in conclusion, community healthcare access programs and policies should be evidence-driven, and we are finding that all too often it seems like they're maybe not, and so that's a big take-home. And we believe a two-stage approach is warranted, and that the population studies will drive program and policy development, and the program evaluation does the impact and outcomes assessment, and out of those two, you create that feedback loop. And you've got to keep doing the population studies, and you've got to keep doing the program evaluation if these collaborative models are going to be able to survive long-term. We believe that a third-party outside evaluators are often needed, not only to ensure objectivity, which is, of course, why you bring in a third-party outside evaluator, but also that the complexities of the work may require that you have some consultation in the beginning and not just waiting until your program is in full swing and bringing them in afterwards. And also, we've talked about stakeholders need to be realistic about the time and outcomes needed to realize, especially a community return on investment, because that's one of the most important themes that, you know, comes up in any you know, soft money world, and also it's pretty important in the hard money world too. So that's all I have, and I talked as fast as I could. So close. Okay.
Our final presenter today is Ermi Baumick, I say it right, who is with Children's Hospital Boston, where she works closely with the asthma program and the Office of Child Advocacy. She's a physician and also has her master's and doctoral degrees in maternal and child health. Dr. Baumick.
Thank you.